Hello, friends. We are in Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 87, and we're still in this quite long Virgo chapter. We're on page 277, and what we have been doing, we've been talking about the relationship of Virgo to Aquarius, though Aquarius releases Virgo from her load, there's another sense in which the positive Christ life of Virgo works through and stimulates the so-called dead lives of Aquarius, the lowest of the creative hierarchies, the so-called inorganic matter and atoms, and manifests through them on the lowest plane. So in this case, the moon is the symbol of the response of the dead lives to what is relatively an outer spiritual impact coming from Virgo and from the unfoldment of the Christ life in Virgo. The impact is interesting because I suppose that Vulcan aids the Christ principle ruled by Neptune to make its impact on the outer form ruled by Aquarius and also by the moon in an example of its truer nature, which is actually dead and not filled with the kind of life that is possessed by the second solar system. So the impact is upon a type of life which is residual from the previous solar system. Of course, it's not really inorganic at all. Everything, hylozoistically, is alive. But the Christ impulse has to make its presence felt within the third aspect of divinity, in this case represented by Aquarius. Aquarius has a strong third ray passing through it, as well as the fifth ray, linking it to the mineral kingdom. And it is ruling on the seventh plane, which seventh systemic plane, which identifies it with the seventh ray. Certainly, in this day and age, when I think for the seventh time in the Aquarian age, the seventh ray is accompanying the precessional cycle of Aquarius. That's approximately a million years of duration. The central idea of occultism is that even the smallest atom of substance has in it the germ of that which can respond to spiritual energy, is preserved for us in the teaching anent the influence of Jupiter, the second ray agent of the Christ principle. Every atom of substance has within it this central core of Buddhic energy. Jupiter is one of those planets identified with the Buddhic plane and with the second ray, with the love wisdom of Buddhi. It is the Christ consciousness, and it will make its impression upon that low order of life, which in this case is ruled by Aquarius. So we move on here into 87. In connection with Jupiter, as might be expected from the from a study of the rays, Virgo is related to both Sagittarius and to Pisces. Well, not only that, but to Aquarius as well. And, of course, the hierarchical ruler of Virgo is Jupiter. So those four constellations are going to be related. So in connection with Jupiter, as might be expected from a study of the rays, Virgo is related to both Sagittarius and to Pisces. Well, the sixth ray is pouring through Sagittarius preeminently, and the second and sixth ray through Pisces. Certainly, Jupiter has a strong second ray associated with it, but perhaps, in a sense, also the sixth ray. That's an idea that I'm still working on, actually, for a long time. This is an exoteric impact, yes, because Jupiter is the exoteric ruler of Sagittarius and Pisces, but produces a constant stimulation of the life of the indwelling Christ. Pisces is a sign intimately related with the indwelling Christ. It is, in a sense, that cosmic decanate, along with Scorpio and Taurus, but it is the cosmic decanate with which the Christ, or those who embody the Christ principle, is intimately associated. Sagittarius stimulates the Christ principle through aspiration. So it produces a constant stimulation of the life of the indwelling Christ. Jupiter is related to the expansion of consciousness. It is preeminently for us at this time a second ray planet and is working upon human consciousness to make it ever more inclusive, synthetic, magnetic, expansive, and it gives deep understanding, loving understanding, in fact, which is one of the preeminent qualities of the Christ consciousness. Jupiter and the Christ consciousness are intimately related. Sagittarius rules or conditions, or that is what the word means. See, he's slipping that in. The word rules means conditions. So influences. Can a lesser factor condition a greater factor? Well, it can certainly condition the manner in which the greater factor reaches us. So if we want to say that Sagittarius rules or conditions the activity of the lunar lords are lesser factors, and the greater factor, Sagittarius, indeed can condition or influence the lunar lords. But if we want to say that Jupiter rules Sagittarius, we can say that it conditions the manner in which the Sagittarian energy reaches us, that it modifies or reduces or in some way colors, therefore conditions the manner in which the Sagittarian energy reaches us. So we have the idea of rulership in two ways. Rulership by a greater factor of a lesser, and rulership as a conditioning influence of a lesser factor upon a greater factor, conditioning or influencing the manner in which the greater factor reaches the lesser factor or reaches humanity in general. Sagittarius rules or conditions, for that is what the word means, the activity of the lunar lords. This Sagittarian energy is associated with their nature, who build the body of man out of their own substance. Since Sagittarius is in its higher aspects, a stimulant of the power of aspiration, it will bring the lunar lords into a more elevatory tendency. It will inspire them to reach beyond themselves. It will change elemental lives eventually into Devic lives. When DK describes Sagittarius, he actually discusses the idea of wings as well, Mercury in relationship to Sagittarius. So there is this upward moving tendency which suggests the power of the Deva over that of the elemental. The Deva is freer, and hence the symbolism of wings. It will therefore be obvious to you why, when a man begins the one-pointed activity of Sagittarius and becomes the earnest disciple, one who is not easily deflected, one who focuses his will and his desire upon a certain objective and is not easily led off the track, it is possible for him to rule his personality, or to govern it so that eventually it becomes the vehicle for the soul. Sagittarius is actually, in many ways, a commanding and directing sign. It certainly points lesser factors in the right direction, and the lunar vehicles are lesser factors within the energy system of man. And so let us say that Sagittarius rules and helps reorient the lunar factors. So Sagittarius rules and contributes to the reorientation of the lunar vehicles. The one-pointed activity of Sagittarius, it guides, directs, keeps in line, focuses the energies of the lunar vehicle so that they cannot indulge in their usual tendencies. The lunar vehicles cannot, under Sagittarius, indulge in their usual tendencies. It accounts also for the reaction of the personality against this control, because this is interesting. The Sagittarian energy, Sagittarius energy promotes freedom and a dislike of restraint. So that these are two factors within the Sagittarian energy. So just as it is difficult to train or to break or to train a wild horse, a horse that's used to its own freedom of expression, so the emotional nature, which is always related to the horse, and in a way the entire personality nature, dislikes the restraint, the higher Sagittarian restraint. There's a lower Sagittarian and higher Sagittarian type of response, and the lower Sagittarian response is to buck and resist the attempt to bridle, to saddle the lunar nature. The higher Sagittarian response keeps on bringing this resistant lunar nature back to the intended direction. A factor of will is working through the higher Sagittarian influence, which is attempting to rule, influence, guide, or govern the lunar vehicles. But it is interesting that DK says that this Sagittarian energy accounts also for the reaction of the personality against this control. The personality elementals want their habitual freedom. They do not want to be led into a new mode of response, which will take them closer to the light from which they shy away. They recoil. It's been called in psychology the repression of the sublime. There is an instinctual recoil in these darkened lives against a greater intensity of energy or a greater light to which they will be constantly subjected and by which they will be controlled. It is because of facts such as these that astrology is bound to become one of the major sciences of the future. I guess there are so many fifth-rate, third-rate people in the present scientific community who would be appalled by such a statement as this, but let's just say astrology will teach the method of training the lower factors in man so that freedom of human consciousness is produced. So astrology will become, he predicts, it's a prophecy. Sagittarius, of which he is speaking, is a prophetic sign. It sees far into the future. It will become one of the major sciences of the future, and when this is so, the control of the personality will be scientifically carried forward. Enough orienting energy will be directed towards it, and its tendency to rebel will be reduced. Right now, I think a person can spend many lives in elemental rebellion against the guidance of the higher factors, the mental factor and the soul-infused mind and ultimately the soul itself. Full use will be made of the planetary influences, when present in the chart and when available and when psychically available. And the energies coming from the signs as they cyclically make their appearance every month, really, and through progressing planets every so often, every 2 years and a half or so, with the progressing moon. And the energies coming from the signs as they cyclically make their appearance, and special effort will be made, for instance, to gain certain aspects of control during the month in which the sun is in Sagittarius. Now we kind of wonder why it's approximately a month. It doesn't correspond to what we call particularly a month leading from the first day of the month to the 30th, but if you measure the number of days in the period during which the sun is in Sagittarius, it can be compared to the length of the month. So perhaps this accounts for the different ways in which the Tibetan uses the word month. It's in terms of time duration being equivalent to the duration of a month as we measure it. Pretty much so, quite closely so. So certain efforts of control, of guidance, of let's call it sustained orientation. The very kind of orientation that the one-pointed disciple has to have relentlessly as he looks forward to the factor of initiation. It's the period of Advent which Sagittarius rules. It will be the birth of the Christ or some one of the expansions of the Christ consciousness towards which Sagittarius directs, especially, even the first three, directing towards the first initiation, yes, towards the second, yes, and even in the more abstract and scientific sense of Sagittarius, towards the third degree. A steady focus on the objective so that no energies which are distracting and diluting are allowed to compromise this orientation, diminish its intensity, and make the fulfillment of initiation less likely. So, you know, what would we do during the various months? What would we attempt to gain? Perhaps during the month of Aries, let's just call it a month, new initiatives would be taken. Perhaps during the month of Taurus, these initiatives would be somehow embodied, and increasing desire would be applied, or aspiration, to the fulfillment of such an initiative. Also, there would be a great quest for higher illumination. Perhaps during the month of Gemini, the relation between soul and personality would be led into a more intelligent form of exchange and receptivity. Perhaps the power to relate through the energy of love, the different, and love wisdom, the different factors in consciousness would be attempted. Perhaps in Cancer, some form of embodiment would be the focus of concentration, some bringing into incarnation of an intention. There are so many things we could say about the types of efforts that would be useful or applicable when the sun for about a month is in a particular sign. There are so many possibilities to choose from. I would simply recommend that we think of the condition in which we find ourselves and what our service might be, what the potentials of the energies might are, and choose from among these many possibilities. You know, here we are right now in the month of Virgo, some sort of purification, some nurturing of the Christ life, some deeper and quiet pursuit of wisdom, bringing of the material, personal nature into a condition where it can better reveal the Christ. I think sometimes we call this health. It can be physical, emotional, mental health. When there is a healthy personality, it is a better revealer of the Christ, which is being nurtured in some increasing stimulation of that inner something which flashes forth every once in a while in fuller form, but is often veiled. You know, if we're in the month of Leo, we try to think of who we really are and how to bring the level of identity which we believe ourselves to be into fuller expression, and our understanding of it less theoretical and more real, and so forth, all around the zodiac. Perhaps with the ingress of the sun into any particular sign every month as it does occur, we should sit down with ourselves and decide which of the possibilities from the long list of possibilities and virtues related to that particular sign should we cultivate at this time in our unfolding life of discipleship. But probably, you know, we are not conscious enough to do this in a systematic manner. When the time of the full moon comes, of course, we concentrate and attempt to build certain things into our nature. But from the very moment that the sun enters the first degree tropically of a new sign, we have the opportunity to say, okay, now I will build my causal body in the following way, by selecting a certain subject for focus, a subject which is related to the sign in power, and direct our attention one pointedly and consistently towards the cultivation of that virtue. But life is still pretty chaotic in the West, and there are so many difficulties due to the transition from Piscean to Aquarian energies, and the reappearance of the Christ is causing such ferment at the moment. The old ways are passing away, but not without a fight, and the new ways are still inexperienced, that we have not settled down to this to these methods of occult cultivation which are offered by the Tibetan. But I think somewhere he tells us that, you know, in a way, this will be one of the, let's call it, building features of the New World Religion, which will be astrologically and cyclically based. Oops. And cyclically based. The relation, that's a very practical piece of information, isn't it? I wonder if we'll ever get to the time when we can be so aware of the ambient energies available that we will be able to work from decanate to decanate, or from the day face and night face of decanates, or with the Dwadashamshas, the 2.5 degree sections, which are created with the division of 12 signs into a 30-degree period. Or will the day come when the particular degree of the zodiac, which we are experiencing in any one-day period, will be understood, will be attuned to by the alert consciousness, and its energies somehow systematically harvested in the affairs of the day. Does that require too much attentiveness? It certainly requires some attentiveness, nor do we want to live artificially. But, you know, if we hold the awareness of the really ambient energies and we work with them, then it's not so much a question of things happening to us. We indeed, like the positive Leo type, begin to condition circumstances rather than be conditioned by them. And we do this intelligently and with the materials, the energetic materials at our disposal. The relation existing between Virgo and Pisces, between the Virgin Mother and the fish goddesses, kind of wonder, you know, the fish goddesses, interesting what they may be in a way from the monadic plane, the Father's home. These jivas are sent forth into the great ocean of substance. In one way, every jiva who has descended into matter, the realm of the feminine, becomes in a way a fish goddess. So the relation existing between Virgo and Pisces, between Virgin Mother and the fish goddesses, is well known. For they are polar opposites. And of course, if Virgo represents matter and is the polar opposite of something, if Pisces is its polar opposite, then will we find Pisces in a way representing spirit? Will Pisces then represent spirit? Okay, well, in a way it is one of those climactic signs which has in it both the beginning and the end. It has the deepest unconditioned matter as well as the fullest Christ consciousness coming through Jupiter and exalted Venus. Anyway, the relation existing between Virgo and Pisces, between the Virgin Mother and the fish goddesses, is well known, for they are polar opposites, and their functions are interchangeable in peculiar manner. So they both are intimately associated with both with matter and with the Christ consciousness. Okay. Okay then. In the revolution of the ordinary wheel, Aries and Scorpio mark the beginning of the end. It's kind of an eight-signed wheel, interestingly. And there was a time, I suppose, before individualization, when there were eight signs to the zodiacal wheel. So let's look at this. An eight-signed wheel. Aries and Scorpio mark the beginning and the end, an eight-signed wheel, and consummate in the rounded out and equipped personality. What should we call this? The triumphant personality or the triumphant disciple. They are exoterically the Alpha and Omega. Interestingly here, they begin and end with a non-sacred planet, Mars. At least in their orthodox sense, they are exoterically the Alpha and the Omega. In the life of the disciple, Virgo and Pisces stand for the same relation. So let's look at this. As soon as I can find my wandering cursor, let's just say Aries and Scorpio exoterically stand for the same relation as Virgo and Pisces esoterically. So why should this be so? Well, we're certainly germinating the Christ in Pisces. We're not germinating Christ consciousness. We're simply dealing with personality development under Mars when we work with Aries and Scorpio. But with Pisces, we have other planets involved, namely Neptune. We have Vulcan involved. We have Pluto involved. Neptune is involved really in both Virgo and Pisces in diverse ways. Pisces consummates the work carried forward in this major world cycle. Now I alert us here to an adjective. There are world cycles, probably of shorter duration, and major world cycles of, I would say, longer duration. What may be these cycles? Well, we're piecing this information together, as we are not masters, and those who have mastered the third subplane of the Atmic plane, where all knowledge may be found, especially cyclic knowledge. We cannot do this in any degree of completeness, but we remain as alert as possible to the meaning of these world cycles and major world cycles. So let's just say that with Virgo, Venus, which is the soul or the solar angel or the principle of love, wisdom, in a way, falls into Virgo. It's a sacrificial descent, something like the descent of the solar angels into a lower type of matter than they would normally need to express through. By the time we get to Pisces, that same solar angel is exalted. Love, wisdom is in exaltation, and there is a freeing of the solar angels. So I find that Pisces is a sign that can be intimately related to the fourth initiation and to the freedom of the, or freeing process of the solar angels, and also to the fifth initiation, which can, I think, relate a few of the world saviors directly to Shambhala. It's a more willful process, a difficult one, but the Pluto relationship there, which is hierarchical, is a planet intimately related to Shambhala, and so a few undertake this path of the world saviors and are released into Shambhala. So Pisces consummates the work carried forward in this major world cycle. You have the full world saviorship, the full Christ's presence, the true birth and achievement of the world savior. Some ideas of the creative story above indicated can be gained if the tabulation of the nine constellations with their signs is studied. Now, we remember, I think, that we have been discussing nine constellations related to Virgo, and including Virgo. Let's see if this is the list which he is giving us. Aries is related to Virgo via Gemini, and we have what is called beginnings, or beginning on the cardinal cross. Gemini, again, via... Aries via Mercury. That's what I meant to say. Excuse me. Aries via Mercury, beginning on the cardinal cross. Gemini via Mercury again, and it gives us relation, especially between the opposites and soul and body, particularly body standing for personality. Taurus is related to Virgo via Vulcan. It indicates desire. Notice these are out of order. So he does seem to be taking them according to the planets in Virgo. First, Mercury, I suppose. What is this order? And Aries, Gemini, Taurus. We have to see why he's doing this. Okay, anyway, Taurus via the veiled Vulcan stands for desire and the eventual elevation of desire through aspiration. Cancer, interestingly, is related to movement. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The third ray aspect is here, the will to evolve. It's on the cardinal cross, and it comes in relation to Virgo via the moon. So here was Taurus with the moon veiling Vulcan. Here's Cancer with the moon. But again, interestingly, we come to Scorpio. This is strange, this out-of-orderedness between Gemini and Taurus. Let's see if he continues to observe the proper order, because Scorpio is related to Virgo, again via Mercury, the hierarchical ruler. There is test and trial. Sagittarius, okay. Let's look at the rulers of Sagittarius. They are Jupiter, and that's going to be the relationship. The hierarchical ruler of Virgo is Jupiter, and the orthodox ruler of Sagittarius is Jupiter. And this gives us the sense of direction which we may pursue after we have succeeded in extricating ourselves from the energy-consuming tests and trials. You need a certain amount of energy to propel yourself forward, and if it's all consumed in battles, then where is the progress? With Aquarius, it's again the moon. The hierarchical moon in Aquarius is related to the esoteric moon in Virgo. With Pisces, it's Jupiter again, bringing salvation. And Virgo, of course, is the main factor. Well, there is one sign out of order here. And unless this is something that happened, I don't have my astrology book with me at the moment, I'm just operating electronically, but unless this is something that happened when the book was being scanned into the electronic form, then we have a real question as to why Taurus is third. Of course, interestingly, well, it's just not in proper order. Taurus is connected with the third of the creative hierarchies, I believe, and is in the third position here, the unmanifested creative hierarchies. We begin with Pisces first, Aries second, Taurus third, Gemini fourth. Taurus is in that proper position, but that's a little far-fetched. Well, we'll try to be aware. Beginning, relation of the opposites, desire, at first low and then stimulated aspirationally towards a union with the higher of the pairs of opposites, the movement of the personality vehicles developmentally forward, developmentally towards a better position with respect to the higher of the pairs of opposites. So Cancer is, along with Scorpio and Virgo, and maybe Pisces, at least four of those signs, maybe one more, conditioning the life of discipleship at a certain point in evolution, which DK does not specify. Scorpio, the real tests and trials of the individual, in relation to which he or she has to make good right down on the physical plane and through every vehicle of the personality. Direction, which is a correct orientation towards the higher of the pairs of opposites, and the sustained one-pointed will to tread that path and to direct all of one's forces towards that path so that they are not wayward. So, see, directing all potentially wayward forces within the personality. Then there is, of course, achievement. Aquarius gives us the pouring forth of all accumulated energies which have been raised to a high point of usefulness. And then Pisces comes with an even more intimate identification of those with those who are served, not only helping them, but actually lifting them out of their servitude, actually saving them. It's a further step. Virgo is the mother of all this. And the signs that are left out of this configuration are the signs of crisis. Signs of crisis or of testing one's place on the path. And these are Leo, Libra, and Capricorn. The crisis of the integrated personality, individualization leading to the integrated personality, the crisis of the balance and of choice between spiritual and material values, and Capricorn, the various crises of initiation. So it's been a while, you know, DK mentioned this earlier, but it's been a while since he's actually shown us these nine signs. We did derive them earlier. One point of interest emerges. All the four arms of the mutable cross are represented in this interrelation. Gemini relation, Virgo the mother, Sagittarius direction, and Pisces salvation. All four arms of the mutable cross of many changes are represented in this interrelation, indicating the complete activity of the mutable cross, or of the preparatory stage of evolution, which has successfully prepared the man for mounting the fixed cross. So we want to look at another name for the mutable cross. As the cross of preparation. The cross of preparation. The path of choice is the probationary path, and we are treading that path, making the correct choices, and coming eventually to that point when Pisces does rule, just before the transference to the fixed cross, where we are truly prepared for transference onto that cross, where the soul will emerge and be brought into power. The personality is prepared to be the mother of the Christ. Within its nature, the Christ will emerge, will shine forth, and will eventually dominate. The two will dominate the three. If we consider the two solar systems, there's more, of course, cosmic fire tells us, but if we consider the two major solar systems, the past and the present, as a unity, I guess we're allowed to do that, as what we consider to be sequential time is illusory in many respects. It might be said that the mutable cross governed the first solar system. Remember, Virgo was very powerful in that solar system, in the second half especially. In that system, and in this solar system, and to humanity en masse, this cross rules or governs the path of probation. It has primarily the sixth and fourth ray associated with it, whereas the real path of discipleship, especially, I think, accepted discipleship, is governed by the third and the fifth rays. The third and the fifth rays, even though Saturn and Mercury are the two planets, the third and the fifth rays govern in the first and the seventh on the path of initiation. Excuse me. So this cross rules or governs the path of probation, which in reality is the entire life experience prior to treading the path of discipleship. Immediately prior, perhaps, can we call the normal path of evolution before we even are aware of aspiring towards something higher part of the path of probation? I don't think so. In terms of the egoic lotus, it's the last tier of petals. These, or in terms of the seven, well, no, it's not. In terms of the incarnations, it is the seven incarnations. 700, 70, and 7. The seven govern the path of probation. And the part of the unfoldment of the egoic lotus, which correlates with the path of probation, takes us pretty much to the unfoldment of the fifth petal, at which time the first initiation is taken, and at which time an individual can be called a true disciple, though usually not yet an accepted disciple. Much depends on whether we consider the only true disciple to be the accepted disciple, or whether at the first initiation the initiate, the probationary initiate, is indeed a disciple. There's such fluidity in these terms, you know, it's so much depends on the context. We have to read in an alert manner. So again, the mutable cross governs the first solar system. And as we are developing our personality, we are passing through that phase, which is analogous to the development of the first major solar system, which I have at times emphasized is a system not only of intelligence, but of the development of the integrated personality. The third minor solar system, I think, saw the development of mind before the integration of the personality could really occur. So in that system, and in this solar system, and to humanity en masse, this cross rules or governs the path of probation. Many changes, many changes, many experiences, a number of choices preceding a certain irrevocable fixity of orientation. Well, mostly irrevocable. You can still turn back when you're on the fixed cross, but there is a greater fixity of orientation towards the higher of the pairs of opposites, and a determined aspiration followed by a determined mentally focused will to serve that higher of the pairs of opposites and to identify with it. And by that I mean the soul. The fixed cross governs the present solar system. Then you kind of wonder about this present solar system. The fixed cross is the cross of blinding light, fiery pain, bitter woe, and yet the cross of liberation. This solar system is going to present those factors and be particularly attuned to Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius. They correspond to the path of discipleship. Our solar logos is the disciple. It's a cosmic disciple, but not yet a cosmic initiate. Will be soon, I suppose, whatever soon means, when the third cosmic initiation is taken as the second is now. So maybe we're in a solar system where suffering is prominent, and yet liberation will come. Will we ever leave the fixed cross in this particular solar system? Well, yes, in a sense, because we are scheduled to take in this solar system minimally the fourth initiation, which is not taken upon the fixed cross. But from another point of view, our solar system, our solar god is on the cardinal cross most definitely. But, you know, we could say that he's in the fixed cross stage of his cardinal cross development, as if there is a subsidiary trinity, mutable, fixed, and cardinal, which underlie his general cardinal cross development. So this can well be a solar system for us of suffering, and our particular, or at least for a while, and our particular planet whose symbol is the cross is undergoing a major transition from mutable cross implications to fixed cross implications as its soul on the second ray is emerging over its personality. The cardinal cross will govern and rule, condition that is, influence that is, the next solar system, and in this system governs the path of initiation in general, which is trodden by the flower of the race. Okay, so does he mean beginning from the first initiation? Perhaps. But in a way, our first initiation actually means, when we take that we have stepped upon the fixed cross, the cross in which the soul emerges, but maybe in a general way, the whole idea of the type of elevation which initiation represents is governed by the cardinal cross and thus by the will aspect, even though strangely none of the will planets govern the cardinal cross, at least as those planets are presently expressing. So the first and second rays are peculiarly absent, I think, if I'm correct. Mars, Mercury, Moon, Neptune, Venus, Uranus, Saturn, Saturn. Yeah, they are absent from the cardinal cross. And if we look at the hierarchical rulers, Uranus comes in with its first ray monad, but it's not manifesting that way yet in terms of how we receive it. Neptune again, hierarchically Cancer. Saturn again, not the first ray in terms of its soul or monadic nature. Well, that's a question. Monadically, Saturn is the third ray, and we are not given to understand its first ray expression, although we're told it does is associated with first ray, and then Capricorn, Venus, no. So no, as the planets normally express for us at this time, the first and second ray are missing from the cardinal cross, though in the monadic aspect they are present. Monadic first ray Uranus, monadic second ray Neptune, not in relation to Libra, no, but monadic, ultimately monadic second ray Venus was not yet expressing monadically. So the next solar system, interesting way of thinking about it, and the path of initiation is the path of will. The first and seventh ray governs, right? Govern. So the path of initiation is the path of will. And the cardinal cross is the cross of will. So in a way, it makes sense that generically the path of initiation will be governed by the cardinal cross. It's the path of initiation in a way which is preparing us for the next solar system. How many of us will actually be there? Well, I suppose I'm gathering that those who take the path to Sirius and are trained as solar angels, that's one of the major things that happens there, will be back in the next solar system to guide the type of humanity or the type of animal man in that solar system, to guide that type of being into becoming a human being of that solar system. Everything will probably occur on a higher turn of the spiral. The solar angels will be, I suspect, higher than they are now, and whatever becomes man will be higher than it is now. The fact that all four energies of the mutable cross, three of the fixed cross, and two of the cardinal cross, that's nine, pour into the sign Virgo in relative degrees and potencies indicates the fundamental importance of this sign of reception, as it is called. I kind of wonder if we looked at the rulers of other signs, whether we could get as many signs related to it. Now, I think one of the things that's happening here is that there are really five planets ruling Virgo. We have Mercury, Moon, Vulcan, Neptune, Jupiter. So with the rulerships of those five planets, we naturally will have a greater association, a greater number associated with Virgo. The only other sign which we could think of as having five planets associated, and really they're not going to be five, would be Aquarius. It would be Uranus. Then we would have Jupiter. And then we would have the Moon. The Moon again, well, okay, let's count the Moon. Veiling Vulcan, Neptune, and Uranus again. So in fact, we would have five there as well. And some of them would be the same. Let's just see. We would have Virgo. We would have Mercury in both. We would have the Moon in both Virgo and Aquarius. We would have Vulcan in both Virgo and Aquarius, veiled, okay. we would have Neptune in both Virgo and Aquarius, and we would have Jupiter in both Virgo and Aquarius. So I suppose that we could gather together in relation to Aquarius, if we counted Aquarius itself, also nine energies. And of course there is that important relation of Virgo and Aquarius, with Aquarius releasing Virgo from her load, and the Christ of the cultivated Christ consciousness of Virgo expressing itself to the lowest of the creative hierarchies ruled by Aquarius. Okay, all nine energies are required to bring a man to the point where the world and influence of the first of the two solar systems have done their task. All nine energies bring the man to the point where the influence of two solar systems, so that is the solar system of the personality and of the soul, have done their task in doing the following. What? Okay. So nine, of course, is a number of completion and I suppose of preparation. But with Aquarius, we would have the same signs, wouldn't we? And we would also leave out the sun, except, you know, in its veiling Neptune and Uranus configuration, but it is, Leo is left out of these nine in Virgo. We would leave out Libra? No. We couldn't leave out Libra because Uranus would be present. Well, let's just do that, you know. Let's just see what would happen. This is just an experiment. Relating the rulers of Aquarius, to the other constellations. Let's just see here. So, one, I'll do it this way. I'll use that. One, well, I want to make it in red, don't I? So, okay. No, that didn't work. I'm sorry. So let's just put it this way. One, Aries, yes. Aries, yes. Okay, and let's just get rid of that funny little, that one. Okay. And then, Aries, yes. And now, Taurus, yes. Through Vulcan. Gemini, yes. Through, wait, is Gemini yes? Okay. No. Gemini is not a yes. Cancer? Yes. Okay. Leo, not really. It depends on whether Leo, yes and no. There, you know, there's some veiling, some Uranus and Neptune veiling, which would bring it in. Virgo is a yes. Yes, Virgo is a yes. So far, Gemini's out of the picture, right? Libra, a yes, through Uranus. Yes. Let me put commas here. Okay. I hope you're following what I'm trying to do here. I'm just trying to see if there are any other signs, since Aquarius has so many rulers, you know, three veiled rulers in the last hierarchical position. Scorpio, a yes, through Mercury. No, that's not correct. Scorpio is not a yes. Okay. Sagittarius, a yes, through Jupiter. Yes, through Jupiter. Capricorn, well, Saturn rules Aquarius. It's one of the rulers, interestingly. So maybe we can say Capricorn, yes, in a strange way. Capricorn, yes, through Saturn, ruling Aquarius, as it did in the old days. Aquarius, include Aquarius itself, and Pisces, yes, through Jupiter. So let me actually include Aries, yes. Aries is a yes, through hierarchical Uranus. Okay. Taurus is a yes, through a Vulcan. Cancer is a yes, through Neptune, which is veiled in the last hierarchical position. Gemini is not a yes. Leo is a yes and no through Uranus and Neptune veiled. Virgo is a yes through Vulcan and Neptune and Jupiter. Okay. Libra is a yes through Uranus and even Saturn. Sagittarius is a yes through Jupiter. Capricorn is a yes through Saturn. Aquarius is itself, Pisces, yes, through Jupiter. So what is excluded is Gemini. And what else? Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, another Mercurial Martian sign. Scorpio is excluded. Scorpio, Sagittarius, Aquarius, Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces. Well, only two signs excluded. So in this particular case, we seem to have, if we include Aquarius itself, 10 signs related. Well, it is a sign of universality, and we're not sure that all of the relations we have used here are entirely legitimate. Oh, goodness. Well, it's time to end this particular hour and 2 minute long program. Sorry. So end of Esoteric Astrology 87A on page 279. And beginning of Esoteric Astrology 87, section B, page 270. Nine. Well, anyway, Virgo, I'll take that when I begin. Okay, now,